This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Author Gary Whitgriff is a very ambitious guy. He is an inventor with 6 patents, a military intelligence veteran, an internationally published researcher, and so many other things I could list. He also found the time to write a book about his 5,000-kilometer bicycle ride to the North Pole. That would be North Pole, Alaska. The book is called Destination North Pole, and Gary joins us via Skype from South Dakota. Hi, Gary.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for hosting me today.
What do you do in your downtime? I'm almost afraid to ask.
I like writing, especially when the snow is flying. And the spring when we were cooped up, I was in the mountains of western South Dakota with my wife, and I finished this book, Destination North Pole.
Wow.
5,000 kilometers by bicycle. It was happened 2 years ago when I turned 65, and I just decided to finish writing it. But, Peter, I twisted it a little bit to make it an armchair read. Rather than just a bicycle trip for bicyclists looking for a long-distance ride, I made it basically an armchair read for, a little humor, some of the dangers that I experienced. And I think people enjoy it even if they can't get out.
Well, what led to this bicycle trip in the first place?
Oh, boy. About 10 years ago, my wife and I, and she's an active bicyclist, we were on a fairly long 5-day bicycle ride with a large group of people. And we had breakfast with a guy one time in his early 70s. And I looked at him and I go, wow, you're in pretty good shape. What you bike a lot. What's your most interesting bike ride? He says, well, when me and my brothers biked up to Alaska to see our other brother. And so ever since then, I've wanted to bike to Alaska.
So the little knowledge I have of world geography, I know that to get to Alaska from where you are, you got to basically come through this country, Canada.
If you're bicycling, I could take the ferry, but I wasn't going to take the easy way.
Yeah.
What people don't realize that from Pierre, South Dakota, you would pronounce it Pierre, South Dakota, the capital of South Dakota, it's actually closer to Greenland than it is to North Pole, Alaska, which is north central Alaska, just below the Arctic Circle.
Okay. So what were the, first of all, from how long did it take to travel on this expedition of yours? And I'm assuming you did it at the most perfect climate time in the summer. So from when did you start to when did you reach your destination?
Well, Peter, I was an agronomist as part of my career. And so I studied not only weather, but crops and growing seasons. And so I wanted the 2 longest months of the year. I figured it'd take me 2 months. So I left on May 20th thinking I would get up there. In fact, had motel reservations in Fairbanks, Alaska on July 20th. And so it gave me the longest days of the year with obviously summer solstice in between because my goal was to bike every night until I found a clean bed and hopefully food.
So how many kilometers did you do roughly per day?
It varied by day from as low as 20 kilometers where I staged for a longer run. This was in, I think, northern BC. And my longest was 267 kilometers in Saskatchewan. But my average was 121 kilometers a day, or stateside, we'd call it 75 miles. 121 kilometers a day
again
for 40 days.
Again, my limited geography, I know you have to come through Canada, as I say. And also,
yes.
You basically have to hit a mountain somewhere along the way.
Actually, 8 mountain ranges. They're all in northern BC across the Yukon and then into eastern Alaska. And so the Alaska Highway or the Can-Am Highway runs around, people call it the northern end of the Rocky Mountains. But yes, I definitely did. I went through the Dakotas and come into southern Saskatchewan, went across north-northwest across Saskatchewan and Alberta, and then into northern British Columbia, across the Yukon, eastern Alaska, into North Pole, Alaska. And people ask me, why you call it Destination North Pole? Well, I wanted to bike to Alaska, and our nephew, niece, and their 3 daughters live in North Pole, Alaska. So I go, okay, my destination is North Pole.
Gotcha. What was the most difficult part of the journey?
Ooh, the difficult part, I had only put on about 7 kilometers testing my GPS unit before I left. And so I was in good enough shape. I'd hiked over the winter and I hadn't been on my bike in 8 months. But I found that the physical part wasn't the stressful part. It was inattentive drivers, all the animals that I potentially could encounter. And I'd literally seen hundreds of black bears and grizzly. Most of them were grazing dandelions, actually, on the roadside borders in BC. Hundreds of wood bison. A moose come face to face with me on the road. So those are the kinds of things that I write about, and the reader will find, I think, very interesting.
You said your wife is also an experienced cyclist. Who had the better time of it?
She did. No, we tell you the truth, we both did. She stayed back for Memorial Day because of a family situation, and so I took off fully loaded with what was it, around 125, 130 kilo. And a couple weeks later, she caught up with me in Western Saskatchewan. I took my bags, clothes and food and all that, and threw supplies, food, threw that in our vehicle. And then she went ahead every day to find nightly food and lodging. And so she would travel at her own schedule, made the 5,000 kilometers as her own separate trip, which obviously could be a separate book. But it was wonderful, each of us exploring on the way up there through territory we had not been.
Now, how did you plot the actual travel? I would assume you, before you even took off, you decided where you were going to go and which roads you were going to take. Were you on secondary roads? Were you on highways? How did that work out?
I planned the route as a bicyclist. You want the easiest route. So I planned it for level roads as much as possible and to give me condition before I got to the mountains to have a wide enough shoulder. And I'm very, very pleased with the width of the highway shoulders, even on secondary roads in Canada. Some are, of course, very narrow shoulders on rural roads. But I tried to avoid big cities, number one. The biggest I went through is Regina. And I tried to avoid routes that took heavy truck traffic.
And during the time that you were doing this ride from Dakotas all the way up to Alaska, what was the one area that really took your breath away when you looked up and said, wow, this is a picture-perfect moment of scenery?
That is a hard question because you're obviously a broadcaster, and I certainly appreciate it, but I found that by wearing earbuds, I tried it 2 days because I was fearful of weather. I did not wear any earbuds or listen to any music or radio or anything. I listened to nature. And as a military intelligence guy, I spent 4 years basically with headsets trying to differentiate signals. And I did the same thing, only trying to differentiate nature all the way up. Every day, I left about 5 in the morning. Most mornings, about 5 in the morning. It was calm. I didn't have as much wind then for the first couple hours. And the sounds that would come out, whether it be birds or insects or brush, or I trained my ears to make a game of it, which vehicle was coming next. And so was it a truck? Was it a camper? Was it a car? Was it a truck pulling a trailer, whatever? And then when I go by, I would go, I was right. And that turned into basically a mental process to obviously take the ditch if somebody was hitting the rumble strips too close behind me. Mm-hmm. So that was the danger part, but the simple beauty of every day, can't wait to see what's out there next.
One of the things, when somebody, especially considering you are clearly, when you're doing this, you're doing it professionally, you've got your gear with you, people, when they see you, know you're a serious cyclist. Did you come across other cyclists on your journey? And what's the camaraderie like if you did?
I rode against the wind. The wind comes from the west, northwest, and the Dakotas, and west out of the Prairie provinces. I basically went into it. Most wise cyclists, and a lot of those were foreigners out of Europe and out of Japan even, they're coming the other way. So the cyclists I met all started in Anchorage or Fairbanks and were coming towards me. So yes, I would see them at rest areas, and all of them were heavily loaded with gear. And as I mentioned, my wife met me in Western Saskatchewan. I, after that, had a stripped-down bike. It was just me and my old 10-year-old bike. And so carried enough water to last me about a half a day. And my average day, by the way, was just over 8 hours a day of pedaling. And it was just wonderful meeting these people that were moving, you know, probably a third less speed than I was. And, you know, interest in where they started, where they're going, how fast, you know, where they're camping, what they're doing.
Physically, when you finished, how were you? Did you lose any weight? Did you gain any muscle?
I less than, well, it was just less than a half a kilometer. Did my muscles change? Certainly. I said kilometer, kilogram. I lost 1 pound. I left at 183 pounds. I got up there at 182. So I didn't. I've been in pretty decent shape all my life, so I never really trained for it. And that's why I started with 70 to 100 kilometers a day. And then as I got farther into, as I mentioned, Saskatchewan, I ended up 267 kilometers was my longest day, just going to a motel room.
Has this sated your desire to do long distance cycling or encouraged it more? And if so, where do you want to go next?
I don't consider myself an endurance guy. I just wanted to do that. And I'm a writer. I've written several books, other books, in my Relating to Ancient series. And I just decided that this is another fun read. You know, people can read my other books on culture and learning and project out what's going to happen, especially with the current situation. And I just decided that this is just another fun way of people sitting in their living room and or evening reading a book. So my goal is not to do another challenge, but really to maybe put out another fun book.
I get the feeling that back in the day when things were normal, you were the life of the cocktail party.
My wife and I have retired in 2012, and we've been all over the world. We have an orphan girl we sponsor in Uganda, so we went there last year and seen her. My grandfather was born and grew up in what was called South Russia at the time, Ukraine, so we went over there. Our son worked in Australia for a couple of years, and we went to see him. Our daughter sponsored a girl in Guatemala, and so we went down there and helped him build a house. And so we just travel all over, and so we have interesting stories, and this is just another interesting story. It happens to be Destination North Pole.
One last quick question. With somebody who does so much and loves the outdoors, have you been affected in any way, shape, or form by the current situation with the pandemic?
It allowed me to finish this book. I finished it that way. It was actually a very, very positive thing. People can treat any situation as negative, but you have to look at life as positive, and that's why I like to bring out the humorous things. And was this bike ride a struggle? To me, it was a happy journey. I just couldn't wait to get on it. And if your viewers want to go on to YouTube, just type in Destination North Pole or my last name, and it's the first thing that'll pop up. And they'll get actual clips from my cell phone and my wife's of the scenery, of the sounds, the birds in the ponds. It's just one way of actually being a part of it. And of course, I'd ask them to look at the book too on Amazon or any other place.
And the book is called Destination North Pole. Gary, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Well, thank you, Peter. You're an excellent host, and I appreciate your hosting me today.
Gary Whitgriff, author of Destination North Pole. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0585, and you'll find the link to Gary's site, plus links to either amazon.com or amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled STUPH. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.